Hola, ¿cómo estás, hermano?
Man, don't start with that.
I did that on purpose because I knew that you would bother you.
I'm good, I'm good. Ya tú sabes, as you would say in Miami, right?
Yeah, my people.
Yeah, man. How you doing, George?
Andale. I'm good. Why are you beefing with Mason, bro?
Like I said earlier, like a good Mexican family, you have feuds and you don't know why. I don't know why we got into it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was because I unfollowed him on Twitter. I think that's what it
was. You unfollowed him on Twitter?
Yeah. I don't know why. He was, like, being annoying, and then I unfollowed him.
I mean, well, I get that.
And then, you know how Mason goes in, like, these sprees where he does a lot of stuff at once, excess?
Yeah.
And I think I unfollowed him, and then he was on the air one day and said, oh, he unfollowed me. Well, I'm going to unfollow him. And I'm like, well, I'm going to unfollow you anyways. And I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, when you see him, he's icy at times.
He is icy at times. Why then, do you think he's icy at times?
Well, I mean, he's said it. He's got his issues. And there's other days where he's in a good mood and he's not. And, like, I saw him at Dodger Stadium during the playoffs. Hey, Beth, all right, cool. Yeah, yeah, great. And then I see him a couple of weeks later and it's like, hey, I'm like, all right, cool, bro. Like, so is it a feud? Not necessarily a feud, but, you know, I'm Team Ireland all day. Because John's been great for me in my career. And John has been one to stand up and, like, hey, whatever you need, here I go. Whatever you need from me. And John is just, like, above and beyond, like, the super nicest guy.
He is.
And it's just, so I'm Team Ireland.
Yeah, I get it. I understand it, too. I used to have an alliance with Mason. And somehow, I didn't even realize our alliance was broken. But then all of a sudden, he wanted to align with Cap.
Oh, really?
So he didn't even break up with our alliance. Like, he just announced he had an alliance with Cap.
Ah.
Which is sketch, let's be real.
Which is Mace, let's be real.
Yeah, there's that too.
You know he's loving that we're talking about him, right?
Of course he is.
But he's pretending not to listen.
No, he's definitely listening. He doesn't pretend on this show. He knows he listens, and he says it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He can pretend that he used to do that, you know. The joke, but he listens. Hey, he texts during the show. I literally talk about when he texts.
Yeah, so. Everybody's like, oh, they don't like you, George, at first because, you know, you come in, big bad guy who's taking over the show and taking over the station.
And I just
and you're
keep,
cool.
it, re-
you're
I
super
keep
nice.
It real. There's that, too. Like, I just, you know.
And you also like to poke at people, too.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
Without see,
I literally started the show asking you why you had beef with me.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you came to town, and everybody's like, who's this guy? And you're like, I don't care on me, which I like because I've known you for years, and I've always been a big fan of yours back when you used to do the overnights. And I'm like, all right, cool. I like this guy. And people are like, hey, why do you like – I'm like, dude, Sedano's real. He tells you exactly how he feels, and you're not going to get that game from him. And people don't like hearing that at times.
No, people like a good cheerleader. And I'm not that. I'm just – that's not going to be me.
Ask my kid. He knows that.
It's not going to be me. I'm not going to be a cheerleader. That's just the way this thing works. And I think now people get it, though.
Yeah.
Because you've told me, even your friends who didn't like me at first now are like, they fall into several categories, I believe you told me, if I recall correctly. It was like, no, he's cool. I like him now. You know, he represents whatever. I get it now. And it's like, be like, the other category was like, yeah, you know, whatever, fine. He says the stuff I don't want to hear, but fine. I'm okay with it. Like, I get it. And then the other category is like, I hate that fool, but he's always right.
But they always listen. And that's the thing I've always said. L.A. sports fan, having been born and raised here, L.A. sports fans are very, very intelligent. We get a bad rap of like, oh, we leave early, all that other stuff. Like, that's stupid.
No, I agree. That's nonsense.
But they're very, very into their teams.
Yeah.
They're very aware of their teams.
Yeah.
And they don't let mediocrity survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, other teams, yeah, but Laker and Dodger fans, they'll hold your feet to the fire.
See,
like, you got to go.
I think the problem was this. Like, I feel like Dodger fans, for the most part, like me because I'm very pro-analytics, which is clearly pro-Dodgers, right, in a lot of ways. And I love Andrew Friedman. Whenever Andrew Friedman or Doc has come on the show, it's been great, like, because we talk. I don't get to nerd out to talk baseball very often, right? But when they come on the show.
You're a baseball guy?
I'm Cuban, bro. Are you serious? Like, what are we talking about here?
From New York, yeah.
I mean, well, I don't even claim New York. I was there until I was six. I don't even remember what it's like.
Just trying to throw that in there, man.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was like to live in New York. Like, my only memory was, like, occasionally, like, I have a vague memory of walking to school in the snow. Like, a legit walking to school in the snow, like kindergarten.
And going to the bodega, right?
Right, and going to a bodega. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I grew up in Miami, man. Like, I lived there. I moved there in 1984, you know.
There you go.
So,
But you're a baseball guy.
I grew up a baseball guy. Yeah, in my house, there was always a baseball game on. So, even though the Marlins didn't even exist, because that was actually better. It was kind of like similar to like the experience of football fans in Southern California, where when I grew up, because the Marlins didn't exist, they weren't even an expansion franchise until I was in high school. We used to get on one of the independent channels, so like let's say like a KCAL, right?
Yeah.
We would get the Yankees a couple times a week, and then on like another independent channel, like a KTLA, we'd get like the Mets, right? And then everybody had TBS, so you'd get the Braves, which weren't that great when I was a kid until much later when I was like getting into like junior high and high school. So I had a ton of baseball to watch growing up. There was always a baseball game on in my house. So I love baseball. It's why it pisses me off that they're so stupid in the way they handle stuff.
Oh, my God.
But we'll get to that later. But, yeah, so I love talk. So I don't like Dodger fans have any issues with me. Number one, they've been great since I've been here.
Yeah.
And they've actually been even better since I arrived here. But the Lakers, I get here, and it's been a roller coaster, as you like to call it. The Lakers novela.
Every single night, there's something different. It's like, who's going to get the blame? Who's going to do something? Who's going to be passive aggressive? Who's going to figure things out? And the thing is, whoever you want to put the blame on, they deserve it. And whoever you want to deserve, they deserve it.
Yeah.
There's always something different. And no matter where you go in this city, everybody's going to have a Laker opinion because they're going to be the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And you're also going to have the Laker haters who just want to have an opinion and let you know, like, haha, look at your team. They're not doing good right now. It's there's no like middle ground with Laker fans. You don't have those passive Laker fans. Like
oh,
yeah,
no. They're awesome. I love Laker fans. Okay. I'll tell you what. You know what the highest ratings were on this station in the 6 years I've been here?
No.
The year of, I'm trying to think. It was the first LeBron year where they were bad.
Like okay.
That was the highest rate in the 6 years I've been here. That is the highest rated year we've ever had.
Really?
In my 6 years. Yes. They were bad.
Yeah.
And they were bad.
Yeah. You're
now, the year before that, but when this, you know, the young guys were there and the speculation of LeBron was also good. But that first LeBron year across, I mean, we were crushing it. Like, we were beating FM stations all the time.
Yeah, like, because people were like, well, he came here. What's he going to do?
Right.
Let's
go.
He's supposed to win 82 games.
It was insane. It was super fun. And that's, but again, like, I get it. Like, they are super passionate. And this gentleman, who I'm sure is a very loyal listener, and I appreciate his tweet, David Soto. So David tweets at me and you and well, not you, actually. It says it's just me and Mason in Ireland and Lindsay here. And at Lakers Nation, apparently, as well. So he's like, the problem is, as Shaq said, there's no one on the Lakers team that believes in the history of the brand and the legacy of the team. They don't care. So here's what I would say to that.
Mm.
Well, okay, why did you? Mm.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I'd love to hear first.
Like, it's a different time, man.
That's
it's a different time.
Going. Yeah.
And, you know, people, you got to remember, these 21-year-old kids, they didn't grow up watching Shaq and Kobe. They grew up watching LeBron. Like, the kids playing right now. They don't know about Magic. They don't know. They weren't born, you know, in the 90s. They were born in the 2000s. You know, that's what's coming up right now. LeBron is an old guy to these kids.
Yeah. Well, he is an old guy to these kids, for sure. I remember when LeBron got here. When LeBron got here, he played with all those young guys. He was like, he literally made the comment once. He's like, I can relate to them because they like a lot of the same things my sons like.
Well, one of the kids in the league, Boston, was –
Brandon Boston, yeah.
Brandon Boston was at Bronny's school. He was at Sierra Canyon a couple years ago. He's in the NBA now.
Zaire Williams of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Also
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. So, to your point, the Shaq and Kobe era, there maybe these kids, okay, at 19 and 20 years old, maybe, they have vague recollections, okay, of Kobe and Powell, maybe, you know, like 8, 9 years old, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. 7, 8, 9 years old. That's what they were when Kobe and Powell won championships. So, to your point, yes, that's part of this. Here's what I'd also say. You traded, and understandably so, okay? You won a championship. But you made a deal to win a championship, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You traded all the kids you drafted that you would have equity in, because you drafted them. And I understand it's why they were against trading. Some people were against trading them for Anthony Davis, which you do 100 times out of 100 because it ended up winning you a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the trade-off. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That's
but they do. Laker fans want that.
I understand.
They absolutely want. They want a championship.
Quieren el pastel y quieren comérselo también.
And they want it right now. They don't want to wait. And that's the thing. When you try to tell fans, hey, you made the trade. You traded the future for this, knowing that this was going to be the result.
Yeah.
Are we surprised that the Lakers are struggling right now? No.
Yeah.
Because they traded. Now, why did they blow up the team last year? That's a different story, different conversation. But when they traded for Anthony Davis, you said you do it as soon as possible. There was nobody. And if you'd say you were the one, liar.
It was
nobody.
Were people that would call in. Trust me.
Come on.
There were. There were people
that
calling
in. That were anti-Anthony Davis.
Not anti-Anthony Davis, but anti, like, I don't want to trade all our young. Because I literally had, I said to them.
Trade them all. As soon as you can.
I said,
give
me
Anthony Davis.
You're lucky if you keep one of them, is what I said. Yeah. Like, because there's, you know, my point was, A, there's a Lakers tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's trying to help the Lakers.
Never.
And B, then you have the added LeBron tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you had the Laker and LeBron tax, so there's double taxation there, okay?
Yep.
It's like living in Canada, basically, okay?
You're going to get that no matter what from Laker fans. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Don't be the one saying, hey, we won a chip a couple years ago.
But you won the championship,
yeah.
So there's that. But you... It's why people like Brian Windhorst went on television when that happened and said, you gave up too much. But my pushback to him was, right, but you're getting the Laker and LeBron tax because everybody knows that Anthony Davis is only going to the Lakers.
And
so that's your problem.
That's the only place he's going. There's
right.
different rules. There's different standards. There's different expectations when you're the Lakers.
Right, and there's no leverage, right?
Like, who's going to help you?
Right.
Like, okay, when they got Pau Gasol, it was Memphis trying to get rid of him, right?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that's the only way to unload Kwame.
Well, they
Brown.
Hit the reset button.
Exactly.
They were willing to do it.
They
yes.
had to do it. Nobody's going to help you. It's like when people are like, oh, trade him. And then for who? For what? Who's going to take? Hey, sure, we'll take on that money. Yeah, right. Because all the years when you're the most successful team and when you've been doing it and you reload, when you get Shaq, when you get Kobe, when you get LeBron, those smaller market teams are like, nah, man, we're going to tax you now when you're going to come for our guy. As they should.
I mean, I would do it if I were on the
other side. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And then some.
I would do it if I were
trying to help LA.
I would do it if I were the opposing. Like, you have to kind of always look at things through the lens of the other side.
Yes.
And I know no one likes to do that, but it's no different than when you like, let's say you get into an argument with your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, right? Like, when you have the blowout, you know, everyone's like, and goes to their corner, right? And then eventually you start, you know, I mean, I guess, I mean, at least I do. Sometimes I'm like, eventually cuando se me pasa la furia.
When you start speaking English again?
Yes. And then, I mean, I can speak to Laura in Espanol, si quieres.
You don't you don't argue with your wife in Spanish, do you? You don't say a couple words?
No. We don't argue all that much, but when we do, it's usually about, like, because, you know, just, like, you know, who's right, who's wrong. It's over, like, stupid things, like scheduling.
Shocker that you're going to argue who's right, who's wrong.
I mean, where do you think I get the good practice? You know what I'm saying? Like,
iron sharpens iron. There you go.
Exactly. But, yeah, I just think it's that. It's no different than when you're... When you get into the argument with your significant other.
You try to reset and then you reassess and you're like,
right.
Okay,
and then
who really was wrong?
You start realizing, okay, well, maybe she's got a point here or he's got a point there or whatever. And then, you know, you have the makeup sex and everything's good.
That's always fun.
Exactly.
So, I mean, no hablo. You should see his face right now.
That's just it. That's just how it works. You know what I'm saying? So... So what I'm saying is the same way you use empathy with your significant other, and I know it sounds ridiculous to do this for sports, but you have to
I'm wondering where you're going with this.
Yeah, you have to understand, what does the other side want? What are they trying to accomplish? And then you'll understand why things work the way they work.
Mm. So it's beautiful, though. It's great for sports talk radio. It's great for TV, where the Lakers, you know, when they are cruising, when they're crushing and they're beating everybody, it's like, it's boring. Okay, another good game. But now, I mean, last night.
I mean, that was embarrassing.
I got home.
All right, let's do it on the other side.
Man.
Let's do it on the other side.
Yeah.
Lindsay's got some great notes here that I want to get to. And we'll get to all that on the other side. So stick around. Beto's hanging out today.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, yeah, man. That's like, I believe, I could be wrong. Maybe someone out there can correct me. But I believe it's the only ballad in the Debbie Gibson collection from that late 80s stretch that she had.
Yeah, I don't know. I need my sister, Gloria, here. She'll help me out. Wasn't Debbie Gibson like, I think we're alone now? Is that her?
No, that was Tiffany.
No, that was Tiffany. That was the other
Tiffany,
girl.
Tiffany, yeah. Right, well. That was like her rival.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's all I know.
Debbie, I mean, Gibson, I don't even know if they were rivals. I'm just making
Of course
that.
They were. They had a feud.
Like you and Mason.
No, theirs was probably real.
Yeah.
Debbie Gibson did Electric Youth. That was my jam.
Electric Youth.
Yeah, that's
true.
A good one.
She did do Electric Youth. And no. Only in My Dreams?
Only in My Dreams. She's from Brooklyn, 51 years old. That's where she was born.
Yeah. I'm glad you know how to Google as opposed to Cap.
What do you mean?
He doesn't know how to Google.
Stop
does it.
It.
Mm-mm.
No, he's terrible at it.
The dude has an app, right? He created an app for you.
I mean,
that you can go to iTunes?
Ish. Yes.
And he doesn't know how to Google.
Yeah.
Stop.
He didn't even know, like, how to access what he was subscribing to on his phone. Like, you know, the subscriptions.
That I believe, because people just, you know, you just do things on your phone and you just do whatever you do. Yeah. I like that guy. I like him. He's quirky.
He is quirky. We love him. Speaking of quirky, Mason just texted, I prefer Electric Youth.
Well,
go.
Mason was like a rock DJ in the 80s, right? He was like, hey, everybody.
Yeah, he was spinning Toledo's greatest hits.
Yeah.
You know?
Wacky morning news. Or
top 40 Toledo.
Yeah, wacky.
He was Rick Dees of Ohio.
He was the Rick Dees of Ohio, as a matter of fact. That's exactly who he was.
Yeah, way to age ourselves right now. There you go. Stay or with maybe, the youth right now.
Or maybe the Mucho Morales of Toledo.
Yeah.
Christopher's father.
Chris Dad, legend in L.A., man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So, Electric Youth. I also want to... Shaq being 50 makes me feel really old.
Yeah, that's a different one right there.
That hits differently.
Yeah, Shaq showing up in L.A. in the 90s. That's when they had, you know, Nick Van Exel, Cedell Threet. I remember...
Eddie Jones?
Yeah, I remember when they were like, the rumors of him coming. Like, oh, man. Really? The guy from Orlando? How's he going to get here? The guy from... The raps with Fushnikas?
Do you remember how that happened?
No, I don't.
I do. So the...
It was like 94 or something like that?
96.
Oh, okay.
So he... his deal was running up with the Orlando Magic. And the Orlando Sentinel... This is when newspapers still had real power, okay? They ran a poll. They did like a poll of should they pay... And like a huge headline of should the Magic pay Shaq the max, basically, or whatever that the equivalent was at the time. And I think the poll came back no, and because of the amount of money that it would have been at the time. And that, you know him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know big fella.
Oh, he
like,
reads everything. He knows everything.
Oh, and he, you, so no, me? What? Get out of here. I took you to the finals. Get out of here. And then that was it. Like, I mean, he wanted to be in L.A. too, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, of course. You
know. But that was like the nail in the coffin. You know what I mean? Because they could have paid him more money.
Man, those Magic uniforms were sweet, too.
They were sweet. They were.
But how did they do a poll back in the 90s? Like,
I don't
like
remember
you right
how
now. Remember, you used to do all. Put up a poll on your morning show. Yeah, put up a poll for everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, what do? They call people, then they ran it a couple days later?
Yeah, pretty much.
And they ran. So, I mean, yeah, Shaq. Like, oh, you don't want me here? Of course I'm going to be gone. And I'm not going to do a Shaq impression like Kaplan does. That's terrible.
Yeah, here it is. Orlando Sentinel poll gave Shaq excuse to leave Magic. Of 5,111 callers responding to the poll.
Okay, there it was, the call.
4,668, 91.3% voted no.
No way.
Saying Shaq wasn't worth the contract.
What was the contract? Does it say?
Like $115 million over 7 years at the time, which would have been a record.
Yeah, you give it to Shaq. I mean, he was going to leave anyways.
No, he was. But yeah.
that gave him the out. Like, okay, see? And then it's funny, years later, Orlando loses Dwight Howard to the Lakers. It was deja vu all over again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that. But 50, Shaq making me, I mean, God, Shaq Do you believe Shaq left stuff on the table? I mean, obviously, Laker fans all feel that way, right?
Such like as championships?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the big deal of why, you know, Laker fans still have any kind of resentment if they do towards Shaq. I mean, it's hard to
be mad at him
because he's so big, he's so cordial, and he's so fun. Quirky.
And he was good.
That. Yeah, but he's also very petty about a lot of stuff.
He is petty.
He gets after these players, and he's become the old man now, and he's 50, and he'll say what he says. Great businessman. He owns everything. He's smart with
that. Oh, my God. He's on everything.
Dude, I can get insurance. I can go on a cruise. I can get pizza. I can do everything I want.
You get, you know, if your muscles hurt, he's got Icy Hot.
Got it all. Great spokesman. You know, Ring, if you want to know.
He's actually got also part of a his company's based in Louisiana. The guy went to LSU with him. He's also got like a hemorrhoid cream. Did you know that? I'm not even joking.
That's something
not,
like, Captain would know.
Boudreaux's butt paste is what it's called.
Really? He's got that?
Did you know he was an early investor in Google?
Yeah.
Yes, I do know that.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was smart with his money. He was good. But, like, man, did he leave something out there? Of course.
Yeah, he left a few, I think.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, even if he still leaves the Lakers, he probably left a few just based on
where he went. I remember
and on just work ethic, right?
One of the first times that I did,
is what Kobe had an issue with him about.
I did first ethic. Take. I think the second or third time I went, and it was the debate on that show that day was about Shaq going to the Celtics.
And right, I remember that.
I'm like, he was giving himself the nicknames, the Shamrock, and everything else. I think I even said on TV, like, man. If you're a Laker fan, how can you even root for this guy still? Because, you know, you got to give that big debate on First Take.
Yeah.
And it was true because I thought about it. I'm like, there's no way Kobe would ever wear a Celtic uniform, right? You know, after what they did. Like,
almost wear a Clippers uniform.
Yeah, but I'd rather you wear a Clipper uniform than a Celtic one.
Yeah.
I mean, only Rick Fox can do that.
By the way, speaking of which, clearly they lost to the Clippers yesterday in embarrassing fashion. Ugh. Now, here are the numbers. They're ugly. Okay, let me just say
I only watched like 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and I stopped.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing
mercilessly.
And I normally stay up for Shaq and Charles and Kenny and Ernie and that, but I fell asleep and then woke up and it was still on. And I was like, I'm going to bed. I passed out on the couch, like just watching it. Like I felt like my father at that point, seriously. So the Lakers have now lost 7 straight to the Clippers. In the last 10 years, dating back, you know, if we go back to like April 4th of 2012, which is within the 10-year span. Now, granted, that's actually a Laker win. The Clippers are 32-8 in the last 40 against the Lakers.
What?
32-8. They're 2-9, the Lakers, in the LeBron era against the Clippers.
Ew. Say that again, George, because I don't want to believe it.
In the last 40 games, they are 32. The Clippers are 32-8 against the Lakers.
Oh, my goodness. It's that ugly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's been bad against them, but when you say it that way, right? You know, there's always like, oh, it's only a couple games. You need more of a sample. No, 40 games, that's a good sample. That tells you how bad things have been. And, you know, I still say – you know, Laker fans are the ones who talk about Clipper fans the most, right? They're always the one. Laker fans talk more about the Clippers than the Clipper fans do about the Clippers.
Yes. As
they will always bring it up.
Louder.
Yeah, but man, they...
You do. You talk about them more than anyone.
But they stay real quiet when they actually do have the games. And I hate that argument that Laker fans come back with. Well, how many banners do you have? How many wins do you have in the last 40 games? Like, forget what you've done in the past. What are you doing for me right now?
And well, they do have one. They do have one within those 10 years, though, the Lakers, and the Clippers have none. There's that.
Oh, whatever. What are you doing right now, George?
No, they're bad.
They're bad. And the Clippers are banged up, too, and they're fighting through it.
Yeah.
They make you want to watch their games. They're like, okay, they're fighting. You know that you're going to get effort from them. Last night, those few minutes that I watched, there was no effort at all. There was nothing. There was no pride.
They're not good.
No.
They're not good. They're just – there's no other way to say it. Like – every day we come on here and find a creative way to talk about the Lakers. And now, granted, there's some days that are easier than others. But it just ultimately, it comes back to the same thing. They're just a bad team.
They're not good to watch.
They're not fun at all.
I've been to one game this year, maybe. I had a credential and I left, like, in the third quarter. I usually take my son.
You did a Mason then.
I did a waiting for traffic.
You did a Mason. Mason always leaves at halftime.
Yeah, but I had no reason to be there. Like, it was, you know, you're not going to talk to the players. You're not going to have access to them. You're not going to figure anything out. Like, what am I doing here? But every year I take my son for his birthday. He's going to be 17 this year. And we're going to go just to keep the streak going. But he hasn't asked me, hey, are we going to a Laker game? And usually when the season starts, he's, hey, Dad, which game are we going to? Hey, can you get tickets for this? He hasn't. And he's a basketball player.
Right. He plays high school basketball.
Yeah. And his teammates, none of them have asked me for Laker tickets this year.
So that's an interesting thing, because I do think that the future of the Lakers, I think, is teetering. And I don't mean that to sound overly dramatic, but I think that right there kind of illustrates kind of what my point is going to be. So let's do that. Plus, how the MLB lockout is affecting the Dodgers' offseason plans, as if there's not enough issues with Major League Baseball.
Hey, look, right away, we get the tweet, we got championships. Okay, there you go.
You do. I just said that.
Great. What about right now? You don't win.
All right, we'll get to all that coming up in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I used to love Chippendale.
Yeah, Chris is going real Flashback Friday, huh? Everything from the 90s today?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Why are you guys BFFs now?
I mean, we just talk a lot.
Is that one-sided?
No, I call him.
Oh, okay, cool. I like
him. I mean,
Chris.
He handles the show, basically.
Chris is good,
man.
He's talented.
He handles the show, the elements of the show, and all the sounds of the show, and, you know,
I
him and Laura.
Feel like
the
show
Lynn
would not be where it is. It definitely wouldn't be where it is without Morales.
Him and Laura and Lindsay are, you know, and me all collaborate on a regular basis.
I like
we try to keep Cap away from him, but
he's kind of like in the dark on the decision making.
Leave Cap alone. Let him defend himself.
No, he's good. He's great. I love Cap. He does a great job on the air. But, you know, we just try and keep it simple.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah,
Chris.
Yeah. We run a basic offense some days.
That's all you need, man. Just run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Let's go. It's not that hard.
You know, we're not trying to run trick plays all the time with Cap. It's just the way it works.
As they get older, you know, you gotta keep it simple with some people.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, what's tartar sauce?
What do you mean, what's tartar sauce?
No munches.
Are you serious?
It's like mayonnaise and relish and some lemon.
Are you asking like what it is? Like you've never heard of it,
no,
or
I've
what
heard
it is?
Of it,
like
what
the ingredients are?
Like yeah, what is it?
For like fish. Like they made they put on like fish.
I've had it
stuff.
Once with the shrimp cocktail. I'm like never again. That's nasty.
Shrimp cocktail.
No, now with shrimp. So here's
what's that stuff they give you with the shrimp cocktail?
No, that's cocktail sauce.
That's cocktail sauce.
Oh,
that's
tartar
red
sauce.
No, tartar sauce is white.
It's white.
Oh no, then I don't know.
Get calamari.
I don't like calamari.
Oh, pues ahí está.
No. Okay. It's gross.
By the way, Siri on my computer.
I'm gonna have mariscos. I'm gonna do that, man. All that when they bring you that shrimp tower, like you know the fancy.
Oh no, pass.
Yeah, but you know what tartar sauce is actually good for is like fried, like
calamari. It's so good.
Yeah, fried fish or seafood is what tartar sauce is.
Puro mariscos, bro. That's all you need right there.
Some ceviche,
some tapatio with the.
Yeah. So like, if you had like, I don't know.
Oh, it's
like,
that white stuff. It's like that white, and it looks like pickles in there.
It's mayonnaise and relish.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's what they put on like the fish sandwiches at McDonald's.
Ew, that's nasty.
No,
I haven't
had no good ever. Tartar sauce is good, though. You just have to have good tartar
mayonnaise.
Sauce.
No.
I'm not a mayonnaise person.
I was going to say, I'm surprised because you don't like
I don't like mayonnaise, but I'm okay with a little bit of tartar sauce on like fry. Because here's the thing. If you get like, okay, like, I don't know. I like dolphin, right? Like mahi, right? But
yeah,
you can fry. You can fry mahi. Okay. And, you know, you bread it like you would, you know, a piece of chicken, right? And you can bread it. And a little tartar, because the breading makes it a little dry, you know? So I think you want a little sauce when you have some breading, is what I would say. It's like this, like cheese. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
If I'm eating fresh mozzarella, I can eat fresh mozzarella, maybe with like a little olive oil or maybe with a little balsamic or something. But I could eat it alone. Like, I can eat cheese alone, but if I'm eating fried cheese, then, you know, then I got to probably have a dipping sauce with it because the breading makes it dry.
I just keep it simple, man. There it is.
I was going to say I wasn't a tartar sauce, but I remember because I do like the calamari from like certain restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I like when they do like the jalapeno one and it kind of has a little kick. But like I'm not searching for it. I'm not like, ooh, let me get that. No, I'm good.
If the Lakers ever play in the finals against Miami, that's not in a bubble, we'll take a road trip as a team, as a family. And we'll go. I'll take you to a like old school family restaurant that does seafood. Like straight up, they literally fish for the stuff you're eating that day.
Oh, okay, let's go.
And they do but the fried stuff you can ask for tartar sauce and it tastes delicious. But it's homemade. Like everything is made in La Casa.
That's
right there.
There you go. All
right. We could do some.
Sorry to distract everybody with tartar sauce talk.
It's okay. No, it's okay. I feel like I think a lot of people enjoy when we're not talking about how bad the Lakers are.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
But yeah, I told Beto today about the Vegas trip that we're trying to go on.
Let's go, man.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah.
Canelo fight week, May 7th.
I can't, though. That's
you just show up for one day, man. Fly in, fly out. Let's go.
I mean, it just depends on where my schedule is, dude. You know,
why the NBA needs a team in Vegas for you.
They do need a team in Vegas.
Just for you.
It's happening.
It will eventually. It's going to be a couple years. Seattle and Vegas for sure is happening.
They're going to expand?
For sure. What?
They're going to expand?
Eventually, sure, yeah. Okay. What do you think they're gonna? You think they're gonna just not make up the money they lost during the pandemic?
Oh, of course, you gotta find things out.
And that's the easiest way to do it. $2-3 billion for an expansion team each. Expansion team. All of a sudden, you just made $4-6 billion.
One more time. How many?
Two expansion teams. Each of them will cost somewhere between $2.5-3.5 billion.
Oh my god.
So. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about $4-6 billion, maybe more.
Hey, good for Vegas, good for Seattle. I've always heard Seattle is a great NBA city.
It is a great.
Because Michael says that, I wouldn't know.
A great NBA city. I was at the beginning of my career covering the NBA, I was able to go there a little bit. And it was, it's great. It's great. It's great. I like Seattle. I mean, we were just there not that long
ago. Yeah, exactly.
You and I.
Catching the airport.
I've never been there.
I feel like you would love it, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Notice how all three of us immediately.
I was saying, wait, what about it?
Because it's cold, a little drab.
I hate when it's cold. I hate the cold
but
weather.
It's overcast.
I hate
it. It's very Daria.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of weather. I don't even like it when it's cloudy outside here. That's why I moved here, to get out of that gross, nasty
weather. Why don't you smile?
I do smile when, you know, most days.
Because I know girls hate when the people say, why don't you smile?
No, I know. He did that to bother.
Tell me to smile. I don't care. I don't need to smile for anyone.
I think you would love it, though. I thought for me it was a little too calm. Like, when I went to Seattle,
I can see that.
It was calm for me.
You were too loud for Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. Laura's definitely too loud for Seattle.
I was way too loud. I mean, I met a lot of cool people, but I was definitely too loud.
Too loud.
Were they able to talk with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you calling me boring?
No, as in
no, but you have like
they're calling me extra girl.
You can't get a word in with her.
You have voice control.
Yeah, I'm Latina. I don't.
Yeah.
You know a place I like that I feel like might be similar to Seattle is Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder's a good city.
Never been.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's a college town though.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I was in a Nirvana video the whole time.
Hispanic people don't live in Seattle though. That's the thing. Yeah, that's the so Laura, like you stick out like a sore thumb, you know, me and Beto.
Like Cincinnati when I went, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Were in Kentucky.
You were in Kentucky. Pretty much.
It doesn't even like get Ohio props, no way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's like Kentucky. Which I'm fine with Kentucky. I've been meaning to go to Kentucky because I like bourbon.
Yeah, I got people down there. I got people there for you to do the bourbon trail.
Yeah, the bourbon trail. I want to do that like big time. Like that's for sure.
Gustavo Arellano from the LA Times, our good friend.
Yeah,
he's our connection there. He's a legit Kentucky colonel. They gave him some kind of a award where he's a colonel. That's why his Twitter says Colonel Gustavo.
Mexicanos in Kentucky.
Yeah, so he knows all the bourbon trail. He'll take care of us, man.
Okay. I'm in on that.
Let's go.
You know, I grew up in Ohio, and I've never even been to Cincinnati.
Because that's way at the bottom.
Yeah, I know. And
it is way at the
there's
bottom.
There's no reason to go. I mean, I've always wanted to go to a ballpark. But yeah, like, that's
where
how bad
you grew
it is,
up. It's like Sacramento of California, and you're going to San Diego.
It's like 5 hours away. Yeah, there's no reason to go there, though.
No.
Yeah, no, I learned that the hard way, but the ballpark is nice.
The only thing I know about Cincinnati is, remember, Family Ties, Alex P. Keaton, they were from Cincinnati.
Correct.
And the sister, Tina Yothers, was a big Bengals fan. That's how I knew about the Bengals.
Yes.
Because they were talking about that.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, anywho.
I like this show. It's just ramble, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fun listening, but it's even more, it's funner being in the studio, being able to ramble.
You should be here more.
So, you had said your son and his friends are not even interested in the Lakers, right?
Not this year. And it's not that they're not Laker fans. It's just more.
But they're uninterested.
Very. They do talk a lot about Kyrie and what's going on with him. And they do talk a lot about Steph. And you know how kids are.
Time out. Before you go on, who do they like better, Steph or Kyrie?
Oh, Steph. Because Steph is the one that's having all these kids shoot three-pointers from half court.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to
make a point. For example, last night, I worked a high school game. I did play-by-play for Rosary High against Viewpoint. State playoffs, right?
Right.
Every girl, Sedano, pulling up, shooting threes, draining them.
Yeah.
Throwing buckets. A girl named Allison Clark, she's a sophomore. She nails 5 threes. And my partner was actually my niece, who is a high school basketball player, Gianna Lopez. I made her work with me. And she was an analyst. I'm like, Gianna, girls game now, everybody shoots three. What did she say? Yeah. Because of Curry, everybody thinks they can shoot threes. And he's changed the mentality of these kids, boys and girls. If you go to an AAU game, these kids pull up from anywhere. And it's also the coaches let them. So who do they see that they can identify with? It's Curry. And that workout the other day where he's warming up and he's making every single shot, I had a bunch of kids send that video to me. Have you ever seen him do this in warm-ups? And not that exact one, but he's done something similar to that. But kids love Curry. Who's the new hot thing right now? Ja Morant. They love him.
They're going to love Ja Morant.
They love Booker. And it's what do kids do right now? Who are the ones that House of Highlights and all the mixtape accounts, Baller TV, everything on the Instagram, they put out all the highlights. You don't see Laker players on these highlights. Because I look at my son's
Why
social media.
Be?
Exactly.
Right, because these kids don't watch the actual games. They're just watching stuff on their phone.
100%, George.
Yeah.
And what do the kids do? They watch highlights, and they repost it on their Instagram story.
Right.
And I'm watching my son and some of his friends, and you'll see highlights. I haven't seen a Laker highlight in a while.
And this is how kids...
You know what the highlight I saw the other day?
Who?
When DeAndre Jordan threw it into the crowd.
Right.
That's
it's
the
funny.
One that went out there.
Yeah, because it was funny. Now, that's how this... It started with kids becoming just fans of a player as opposed to a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this trend started. All right, let's keep diving into this. Because I think that the people that argue with me about like the Lakers' future is not guaranteed, they need to hear that. Okay, more of that. And we can continue that. We didn't get to the Dodger stuff either. We'll do all that coming up. We're back in 2 minutes. It's a good jam right here. By the way, it's National Oreo Cookie Day this Sunday.
How many days? And who comes up with these things?
I don't know. We just find them. Lindsay does a great job.
Yeah, I saw the email from Lindsay. I thought it was going to be like something like big news or like all these great stories that I should read. As you know, I call it show prep.
Yeah,
and it's like National
there is show prep on there too.
No, that was show prep. It was National Everything You Need Day.
Yeah,
like it's like okay, cool. I want to be the guy that comes up with the days.
You should come up with a day. Like, what day would you make up though?
I have to start drinking. Then I'll come up with the days.
I bet you they already whatever you come up with. I bet you they already have a day for it. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's the most random day.
Do they have National Ceviche Day?
Definitely. I guarantee you they
Definitely.
Do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you I'll look it up.
Do they have National Green Wet Burrito from Diana's Day?
Okay, no, not that
not from
specific.
They definitely
you
know. Have National
Okay,
burrito
so here we go.
Day.
National Ceviche Day is June 28th.
There you go.
Okay, do they have National Aguachile Day?
Ooh, aguachile sounds good.
Probably not is my guess.
From El Paisa in Linwood? Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right.
I was in Bath, Florida the other day.
There is no National Aguachile Day. No.
All right, so that's what I'm going to come up with.
Okay.
All right, is that
what
date? There's got to be National Michelada Day, right? Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. I don't know.
What day would you want Aguachile Day to be?
Every day.
There is a National Michelada Day. Yep. It is July 12th.
All right.
Ooh, close to my birthday, but
okay. All right.
Barca.
matter. I mean, today is also like National Pound Cake Day. Like that's
That was another conversation, George.
I love pound cake.
What's
bro?
Pound cake? I had to Google it, and I looked it up. And
for real?
They don't sell Entenmann's in California?
I don't think they do, actually.
No, that's not true. I've seen their donuts in like the grocery store.
The donuts,
store.
Yes, but jeez, I don't think the that pancakes. They sell like the pastries.
And I'm not like playing this up. Like I didn't know until I Googled it, and I was like, oh, I've seen that before. But remember, like. There's
we just
pan
call
dulce.
It exactly. We call it something else. Like we never.
No,
like,
no, but it's not pan dulce.
No, but I mean that's what I know. I don't know pound cake. Like there's no. Like I've seen it on
pound cake is just a loaf. It's
yeah,
like
I've
a,
seen
a,
it on
a,
TV
it's
shows.
A butter, it's a butter loaf.
Yeah, like my bougie sister probably has it at her house in Redondo.
No,
but,
you
like,
don't have you know, to be bougie.
No, no, she's bougie sister.
I was poor as hell growing up.
No, no, but
I'm
saying like we didn't have that. Like we didn't have like. Like, look, my background is there's seven kids, mom and dad from Mexico. My mom never left the house because she raised the seven kids mm-hmm. in the two-bedroom house. So we weren't buying exotic anything because that would be exotic for us. Mm-hmm. There wasn't extra. It was cornflakes, right? It wasn't the frosted flakes. It was just, like, I know people thinking, like, you're probably making that up. No, it just, I didn't know this stuff.
Well, for me, like, it's funny that you mentioned pan dulce because I took donuts to my other job and somebody was like, oh, ¿y por qué no llevaste pan dulce? I'm like, dude, I'm in Marina. No, I like that's what we found. But the pound cake came from like the donut shop. That's how I knew it because of, you know, a specific donut shop that you would go to a mom and pop. And that's what it would say.
Yeah, when I Googled it, it came up with that lemon cake.
No, but lemon cake is gross. Pound cake is good.
But it looks
it looks so similar.
Exactly. Entenmann's is like it's a bakery. I think it's
oh,
like
I like
Philadelphia.
Wait, isn't like Entenmann the one that has like the cheese Danish?
Yeah.
Yes,
I love
are.
That.
That's
right there.
Hard to
now,
find out here,
dude,
though.
But my mom loves that. So whenever there was a little extra money, Esperanza had her Entenmann's right there. Yeah.
So Entenmann's makes pound cakes.
But we weren't allowed to have it because my mom was stingy, which right. I don't blame her because it was seven bad kids.
Yeah. Yeah. They have like, they make all sorts of cakes, like crumb cakes, and they make pound cake and all that. You know, kind
of
stuff.
I'm more of an ice cream guy, so I don't really like.
Oh, I love ice cream too.
Yeah,
gelato.
Look at you fancy.
I mean, that's
gelato.
Fancy though. You know what I mean?
Dude, because now I could afford it. Like we couldn't before. We would get the big old tub with the
gelato.
Three. You know,
do you have the gelato where they put like the big scooper and they make it look like I don't know, like Conan O'Brien's hair, basically.
No,
like,
no.
Scoop it all the way up.
You know.
I always get the tiniest one because I'm not a big sweet tooth person. I just want
See, that's my. That's like to me. It's why National Oreo Day to me is great. Like I love Oreos.
Heck yeah,
bro. Mm-mm.
Oh, man, the double stuff Oreos? Oh yeah.
Yum. Lindsay likes, which is the one you like, the Max Stuff, or what
like
is it called?
Like the Mega Stuff.
Mega Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like double stuff times two.
Oh, my God.
Hey, George, did you guys used to get, like, the bootleg Oreos? Or
oh, yeah. What were they called? Hold on.
Hydroxy.
Yeah.
Not Hydroxy Cut. That was
cut.
No. Hydroxy Cut is like
a,
it's basically speed.
Yeah. But all the Hydroxyl ones, I was like, no.
Dude, it's crazy, right? Like, when I was growing up, and you know how you were talking about the cornflakes and all this stuff, you didn't have the legit brand. And then when I started going with my mom, because I wouldn't go to the store a lot, and you're like, why can't we get that? No. This is the one we need.
This is the one we get.
This is the one we get. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I always had the bootleg stuff, you know?
Mexicans, Hydrox, yeah.
Mexicans are brand loyal. They will stick with your team. Look at the Dodgers. They get $3 million a year no matter what.
Yeah.
This radio station, they'll stick with you. They'll stick with the Lakers. Like, my mom to this day still uses Tide. She uses Dove.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. It's like, no, you're not bringing anything else.
Well, Latinos in general, super brand loyal.
Yep.
Yes.
Whatever Don Francisco said, we had it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
For
the
sure.
Girls,
if it
right?
was on Sábado Gigante and El Chacal was doing his trumpet about it, we were good. Yeah. So there you go. Lindsay's like, what?
Lindsay knows. She knows what's up.
Do white people know Sábado Gigante?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, there's no way. Yeah. Why would they?
I know white people that know that.
If they're in Florida.
Or California, probably.
California, but like flyover states, no chance.
Yeah.
Nah, they're not watching. Remember, Saturday Night Nights was Golden Girls.
Golden Girls was the bomb diggity.
I did know Walter Mercado. So.
Oh, there you go. She did know. That's true. She did know Walter Mercado. She did. She did know that.
I was flipping around on stations at my grandma's house.
Mm-hmm. She knew.
Oh, on the news. Across the Spanish station.
We should do a documentary. We should do like a spoof on Walter Mercado. May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Did you see the documentary?
Yes, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about it.
I felt so bad for him. Leo, ay, mucho, mucho amor. Does Cat know Walter Mercado?
No, he didn't know.
Oh.
No, he had no idea.
But he said he did, and I still haven't found the tapes because we talked about the documentary. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he was like, I have no idea.
He's worked in San Diego over 30 years.
And he grew up in Florida.
Man, get outside of the bubble, Cap. Come on, man. Go to Barrio Logan a little bit, bro.
Exactly. So anyhow, real quick, let's finish up the conversation about your kids and how – look, I just look at it this way. And everyone always says, like I heard Keyshawn talking about this. Oh, they're the Lakers. They'll be fine. Eventually, that's not going to be the case is what I'm saying. Like that – and we almost saw it. LeBron kind of saved them and they to do the deal – you know, the deal with – you know, they made the deal of shipping off the kids or the young players who would care about being drafted by the team and all that stuff for basically mercenaries, right? Let's just be honest with each other. And they did that for a title and it worked. But eventually that stuff, they're the Lakers. It'll work itself out. That logic becomes flawed because here's the thing. You remember this, Beto. You were covering this team. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant wouldn't take a meeting with them. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony wouldn't take a meeting with them. Even LaMarcus Aldridge, who took a meeting with them, was like, what the hell did I just sit in for? You know what I'm saying? Like
those fancy PowerPoints, right? We've all sat through them. Like, really?
So what I'm saying is that just because it's been the case doesn't mean it's always going to be the case. And had LeBron not come here, it might have still been the case.
Well, that was the problem with the Lakers during that time. It's like, look what we have accomplished. Look what we've done. Look what we've won. It's like, great. What are you going to do moving forward? The game has evolved. What are you doing next?
And well, and what I would say is this. Look, man, you know I keep it 100 with you, okay? Mm-hmm. I cover this sport. I cover a lot of different teams for ESPN, all right? I'm on the road. I'm covering teams. I'm talking to teams. I see what other teams put into their front office, okay, as far as numbers of people, whether it's scouts, analytics, people who have decision-making power in the front office, right, or have real say. The Lakers are really small compared to pretty much almost
every team. It's a mom-and-pop operation.
Yes.
It really is. They were one of the last teams to get analytics in the front office. They were, I mean, give Joey Buss a lot of credit with the South Bay Lakers.
I think the young Buss boys do a really good job.
They do an excellent job of recruiting, of scouting. Hello, they found Caruso. I used to call his games for the South Bay Lakers. Yeah. They find these players that nobody was really looking at that are good role players, that are good support staff. They're great at developing that, but it's what are you doing? So finding the analytics and evolving and going up. Look across the street. Steve Ballmer's a billionaire. He'll do whatever he needs for you. The Lakers are still a family-run business in a different way, and they're not going to operate the way billionaires are going to operate, right? They are still the name, the brand, and that's what how we got into the conversation, the topic of, like, we are the purple and gold. You should be doing this. You should have pride in it. Yeah, but that doesn't mean as much to a player that's coming up right now. I texted with my buddy Mike Altamirano, freshman coach at Segerstrom High School in Orange County, right? His guys all shoot threes, even his center. He's probably listening right now. His kid Zeke, who's probably 6, 7 years old, probably a Laker fan because the dad's teaching him that. But once the kids get a little bit older and start thinking for themselves, it's like, do I want to watch Steph? Do I want to watch John Morant? Do I want to watch Booker? Like, kids are impressionable, right? Like, why are there so many Warrior fans? Heck, how many Heat fans did we have when LeBron was in Miami, right, while the Lakers were, And as much as a parent, you want to, like, hey, no, this is our team, kids make up their own mind of like, well, Dad, why am I going to root for a team that sucks right now? Why am I going to look for a team that's a disaster right now? And that's the hard part to see because this is what the Lakers have always been. And when you're going and you're watching a game right now, and there was a caller on Mason and Lyon about how if you only go to one game and LeBron's not there, that sucks because Laker tickets are still expensive. It's a $400 night if you want to sit upstairs after you pay for your tickets, after you buy your food, after you pay for parking, and just to figure it out. And you're trying to make ends meet, and then that's the product you get? Like, ugh. Like, what are you really going to remember like that if you're an 8, 9-year-old kid? It's ugly, man.
I'm with you. And that's why I'm saying, like, the Lakers have to understand the game and the business of basketball is changing. And I think that
they know it, but they do that gap of, okay, we get the star here, but it's what are you going to do when the star is gone?
Right. And I think that situation could rear its ugly head again, is what I'm saying in the near future.
I was there. I started off covering the Lakers with Smush Parker, baby.
Right. So this portion,
Jody Meeks, baby. Here we go.
This portion of the show is presented by Alignment Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. I just think you have to be more aware that the game is evolving and you have to evolve as well. Like, you can't stay stuck in your ways just because, oh, it's always worked. Eventually, it doesn't work. All right, we're going to switch gears, talk UCLA, okay? Martin Jarman, the GM, is going to stop by. The GM. Athletic director.
NBA mode,
sorry.
Baby.
Yeah, the athletic director, the AD, is our pal. He joins us coming up in a few minutes. And, of course, what you need to know. We're back in 2 minutes.